be contained. Now, some of you sound, none of you sounded like you meant it. Have you ever had something pushing on you and you're going, uh-uh, get out of my face? And you need to say it in a way that they'll get out of your face. Everybody say, I cannot be contained. Oh my, you're helping me now. Now, I need you to get your prophesying finger out. Come on. Every mother has a prophesying finger. Come on. Now, come on, get your prophesying finger out and look at the person next to you and say, you cannot be contained. Now, you listen to me, DeLand. Everybody shout, I cannot be contained. Turn to the person next to you and say, you cannot be contained. Everyone in this room out loud shout, we cannot be contained. Now, I want you to get that down inside of you. By the power of the living God, we are living in an hour that is an extraordinary opportunity. And so many people are walking in fear, not realizing that in these hours is when the church shines at its greatest. In the Great Depression in America, one half of all banks went out of business. In the Great Depression in America, less than 1% of all churches went bankrupt. Do you know why? Because during these times, if you take care of God's business, God will take care of your business. You take care of God's house, God will take care of your house. But it's amazing to me how when we get in difficult times, we say, hold it, I can be contained. When if you are contained, you will end up with the contamination that will destroy you. God is not raising us up with some mentality of just trying to get by. But we've got to begin to understand we have lived in a time when we have been committed to everything and conquered nothing. And we have surrendered to nothing and have been conquered by everything. When the reality of sin that is upon us on every hand, God is calling us not to a life of commitment. Forgive me, we've heard commit, 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 and I'm at the point that I feel like I want to be committed to an institution. See, what I've learned is in Christianity, God is not asking us to commit, He is asking us to surrender. And I'm constantly watching people saying, I'm committed, why am I not conquering and why am I being conquered? Because the reality of it is, surrender is the connection that brings us into an adventure into the heart of a living God. Surrender is what brings us into the glory of the power of intimacy that nothing is impossible with God. But out of that, we've got to begin to understand the power of one life. It is not a new quote, and the reality of it is many evangelists have used it. The world has yet to see the power of one life totally surrendered to God. Well, I'm committed. Everybody's committed. I'm committed to soccer, I'm committed to school, I'm committed to my marriage, I'm committed to my job, I'm committed to this, I'm committed to that. And with all the commitment, are we conquering? No. And the number one thing is nobody wants to surrender. Well, if I surrender, I lose. Yes, hallelujah. You lose your mind and you find the mind of Christ. See, God is saying, hold it. I want you to enter into a dimension of that which is real. Now, up there, guys, if you can you bring up slide number 5? This is very important, and I don't want anybody to mention. Now, do you see this here? A few months ago, I have a friend who has a church in Birmingham, Alabama, and he's having conferences all the time, and he sent me this, and the name of the conference was The Real. Now, have you ever seen how the power of the Holy Ghost will take something in the natural to speak to you about something in the supernatural? And when I saw this and I saw the real, God gave me a word. And I want you to see what the word is. Would you bring it up? I literally want you to follow with me and read this with me. If you will be real with me, I will be right with you. And then you will be right with me, and I will be real with you. Now, when I sat down and began to write it, I didn't exactly put it in those words. But these were the words. Mike French, if you will be real with me, meaning God, God will be right with you. And then you will be right with God. And God will be real to you. Now, can I tell you, I started asking questions in my head. Number one, I said, God, are you telling me I'm not being real with you? And the Holy Spirit began to deal with the inner part of my most being. And it began to say, hold it. Most of you is real, but don't get upset. There are very few people, if anybody, who is 100% real with God. My, it's quiet in here. And then the thought hit me. Well, God, if I'm being real with you, why won't you be real with me? And God said, if I deal with your realness, with my realness, you don't exist any longer. See, because there's a part of God called his terror. And if all of a sudden I come before God and I'm being real with him, and God just opens up and has to deal with my realness, out of that vein, I'm gone. But God, when I'm real with him, he deals right with me out of righteousness. He deals through the power of the blood of Jesus. I love this. The two favorite prayers God hears from us are, help! And thank you. I love that. Now maybe you're more complicated than I am, because I meet people all the time who really know how to pray. And I love them. I love hanging out with them. But sometimes in my reality, and we live in a time where we're consumed with all the reality shows. Everybody wants to be real, but what the reality of it is, our reality is we are totally committed, but our commitment is not accomplishing anything because of the contamination that lives inside of each one of us. So what does God do? He says, hold it. If you'll be real with me, if you go, hey, help! Anybody besides me ever been to the place that you didn't have enough words that somehow you thought they could motivate God? His ways are above my ways. His thoughts are above my thoughts. And I start coming in and going, oh, great God, almighty Jehovah, above the heavens and the earth, he who sets, oh, and beholds the glory and all. And God's going, huh? What? And then you try another, and finally you're just getting frustrated with words, and you just go, I don't know how to say it. Help! Oh! Lord, it's ugly. It's not good. Help! What Pastor Sergey told me the other day in prison, he said, help! Pastor Alexander, when he was lost and a fighter and on the streets and hungry and hadn't eaten for days, looked up and said, God, if you're really there, help! And he said, when I said those words, help, I looked up and in front of me was a little poster that said, driving school. call this number. He said, I called that number. I went there. And that night, I was enrolled for free, which was impossible. They gave me a room, which was impossible. And they fed me that night. And the next day, gave me a job. Why? Because when you get to the place that you begin to remove the mask and you begin to go, help. See, we're living in times that just because you're getting by don't mean you're getting away. I'm not trying to scare anybody, and maybe you don't want to hear it. Maybe you want to hide your head in the sand, but the reality of it is we are in a moment of time like I've never known before. A moment of time that God is not in trouble. God is not up in heaven with his head in his hands going, we're in trouble. We've got a Democrat in the White House. By the way, I didn't vote for him, but you better watch your mouth. He's my president. And I'm praying for him every day. Don't know what he's going to do or how he's going to do it, but I know God is on the throne and God is not in trouble. God is having a good day. And God is saying, hold it. If I have a people that will come and quit all of this phony, baloney stuff, they will see their children saved. They'll see their homes changed. They'll see their jobs saved. And even prosper in difficult times. See, what I'm talking about is I've seen what God can do besides just in the American dream. I've watched when people begin to tithe in areas where they starve to death, and all of a sudden they're eating fresh fish and fresh rice every day. Now, that may not be prosperity to you, but when you're starving to death, that's prosperity. Why? Because of what God can do when we come to that place. See, what's amazing to me is when we're willing to get real with God, God in that moment does something. He doesn't come out of that which could destroy us. But he comes out of that intimacy to the moment of surrender and says, I'm going to touch something inside of you so deep you don't even know how to scratch it. I'm going to bring you into a level of adventure, but it is only triggered through the power of surrender. Take your Bibles and look at it with me, please. Would you stand with me for the reading of God's Word, Romans 12, verses 1 through 2. Romans 12, verse 1 and 2, the first word is therefore. Everybody say therefore. It says, I urge you, my brothers and sisters, in the view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. Now, if you don't know it, when you're being sacrificed, that's not a commitment, that's a surrender. See, everybody wants God on their side, but you got to get this, God to get you surrendered. God to get you and me surrendered. One of the most powerful truths in the Word of God is when you look into the Revelation, how does God want you to see Him? The Bible shows us the Lamb who sits on the throne. God wants us to see He is the one who was willing to surrender and be sacrificed so that we could be reconciled to Him, not committed to Him, but set free from the bondages of darkness. God, I believe, is entering this church in a supernatural dimension to shine in 09. No, Lord, help me. Somebody should have jumped and shouted. I believe God is calling this church to be able to walk in the power of conquering, not in some weird, bizarre, egotistical way. I'm talking about the supernatural power of God to set the captive free. But to do that, there has to be, he's saying, hold it, come here, come on, don't do this. Don't do the ways of the world. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in the view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Just because you lift your hands don't mean you've surrendered. But when you have surrendered, you have entered into true intimacy of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world. What has to happen for you to get that it don't work? Another man that will rob $100 billion? Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and prove what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Father, over the next few brief moments, you are looking across this room tonight of hundreds of people who have come. Lord, you're looking for one. For Lord, you love crowds and multitudes. But you're always looking for the one that will fight through the crowd to touch you, the one that will cry out, Son of David, have mercy on me, help. Father God, please give us some folk in this place tonight that are not embarrassed in this time of fasting and prayer to cry, help. And we will praise you for it, Jesus. Amen. You may be seated all across this room. Romans 3, verse 23, all of us have heard, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Romans 6, verse 23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Specifically, what is it that keeps us from surrender? We all want to be committed to God because we don't want to end up in hell and we want God on our side. And yet in the midst of our commitment, we go out again and sin. We attend church on Sunday morning and on Monday night sleep with whoever we desire. We keep trying to look for full-time partners in part-time places. Because no one wants to deal with the reality that sin is a minus. Sin is the subtraction. Sin is the division. Sin is the death. When you deal with the reality of the minus that we try and turn around by commitment, but it is not until the minus has the power of one surrendered that it turns into a plus. See, the power of one added to a minus turns it into a plus. This is not complicated. Everybody take your finger and make a minus. This is not a trick question. Come on, everyone put your finger out like that. Everyone put it as minus. Now, this is a simple question. What does it take to turn the minus into a plus? The power of one. The power of one surrendered. Now, I want you to see something, and I don't normally do this specifically with the PowerPoint, but would you bring up the next slide? Bring up the next slide. Bring up the next slide. God said, you're a minus. Even though I created you to be a plus, but because of sin, you surrendered and gave dominion over to the powers of darkness. So what did God do? He said, hold it. I'm going to give my one and only son to the cross. And please get it. The cross is a plus that surrenders downward. So many people want to take control upward, but the kingdom of God's principles never work upward. They always work downward through the power of surrender. For right connections are the spark of creative change. For when the power of one walks into an office place that's filled with sin and darkness, not with the spirit of condemnation, pointing out a finger about how bad they are, but walking in the power of the anointing of the Holy Ghost, you can see your job turned around. I was preaching in Farmington, New Mexico. The power of God began to explode. People started coming. In the church was a real estate man. And he had several people working for him. And every night I would see this man bring somebody else from his office and get saved. Till the next to the last night, he came up to me and he said, "Everybody in my office is saved but one, and they left town to get away from me." You know why? Because he understood. He made the connection to what could be done. You say, "Hold it, in my school, it's mixed up and messed up." Your school may be mixed up and messed up. That's why God put you there. God will put you in places that you're going, "Lord, I don't want to be here." But when you begin to allow the power of the Holy Ghost to come from inside of you, outside, when you begin to shine in 09, all of a sudden you begin to go, "Whoa, I should have been here all of my life. I was created for this moment." Hear me, Church of the Living God. You were created for the year 2009. You were created in the image of God for the world to see your good works and to glorify your Father, which is in heaven. See, right connections bring that of addition and multiplication in life. Wrong connections can bring massive destructiveness. Do you realize because of HIV and wrong connections, the continent of Africa is dying? In areas of South Africa, where they used to have 3 funerals a month, they're now having 10 and 20 a day. Why? Because of wrong connections. And what's amazing is, if I dare stand up and preach against sin and talk about sin, do you realize right now there are countries in the world that if I get up and I start preaching that homosexuality is against God's word and it's a wrong connection, that I can go to prison? How long will we say, "Hold it," where there comes that point to stand up and say, "This is wrong, it's got to be stopped"? Do you realize that now Russia and Estonia are the fastest growing of area of AIDS in the world per capita? Most people do not realize in Russia, the divorce rate is now the highest in the world, 80%. And the number one reason is the average Russian man goes through a bottle of vodka every 48 hours. That doesn't include beer or wine or rum or anything else. The lifespan of the average Russian man now is 58 years old. It is the lowest in the developed nations. Why? Because of wrong connections. And in our present crisis in America, wrong connections have given birth to greed. And it's amazing to me, we keep thinking you can bail out greed. There comes the point where you go, "Hold it." God's entire universe operates by supernatural connections. God's connections mark us for purpose, for provision, for pleasure. For what God does is, in right connections, it reveals His mission. And that is the revelation of God-given purpose. Please hear me. These troubled times are intended to give birth to God's mission for your life. You are here for a reason. I don't care how you got here. God doesn't consult your past to determine your future. It's not how you got on the planet. It's how you leave the planet. For God has not only given you a mission, He has placed you in management, and that is to illuminate the provision of God for your life. For God wants you to understand you have mission, you have management, and He wants you to live a life of magnification. That, am I allowed to get down and walk? I've just been so good since I've been here. I haven't behaved rowdy yet. Is it all right? The Wednesday night crowd's the rowdy crowd. We have to behave ourselves on Sunday morning. No, that don't happen at this church. Please hear me. You were created for a mission, and God has placed you in management. Mismanage and you miss the mission. Mismanage and you miss the mission. He has placed you in management, and the management of your life is that in everything you have and in everything you do, that you're going to magnify God, that you're going to lift Him up with praise, with all of your material possessions, with all of your money. They are magnifiers. Now I hear people say, I would be a greater giver if I had more money. No, when you get money and you have more, it'll just make you bigger of what you are. Well, if I had a bigger house, I'd magnify God. You get a bigger house, and you'll be more grumpy about magnifying God. You say, what are you talking about? What I have learned is material possessions and money are magnifiers. Now, what does that mean? When I have money, I can get on TV, and because I've had money, I've been able to preach to 17 million people in Russia by television alone. Now, you know, I tried going over there and telling them I was God's man of faith and power for the hour, and they ought to put me on the air. Do you know what? People sometimes tell you that being broke is spiritual. That's not only stupid, it's not true. Being broke is just extremely inconvenient. Nobody's helping me here. See, I've met people, well, if I got more money, but right now I got to be stingy. As long as you're stingy now, you'll be stingy then. Whew. Why? Because that's the way it works. And you know what's quite amazing? Is money, I see people who go, well, you know, before they had money, they gave and they were wonderful and they were sweet. And now that they got money, they're not like it. See, what it was before they didn't have any power. Y'all aren't helping me. How much then when you're broke, you better be nice to people. Y'all aren't helping me at all. I just somehow should have stayed in Russia. See, all of a sudden, money will magnify what you really are. See, and God has placed everyone in this room to magnify. If you are willing to surrender your life to God, and say, Lord, I want to be a magnifier, that whatever you put in my hands, it's not going to stay in my hands. It's going to come to me and through me for your glory. Then you will begin to live a life that God will say, I want you. Why? Because when you do that, then you begin to live a life of multiplication. See, you can live one of what? You can live one plus one plus one plus one. But you say, preacher, that's all I got. Unless you surrender to God. Because when you surrender to God, then you have, God has all of you. And when you've made that commitment to all of you, He says, well, hey, let me let you in on, you can have all of me. Now, everybody in this room, listen to me. For years, I've went around telling people that I am God's favorite child. And you need to know that's true. Let's just get the issue settled tonight. I am God's favorite child. Now, have you ever had something in your head that you really didn't believe, but you never thought through it? Now, this is the way I thought about God. That there was so much of God. I know that you go, but I'm God's favorite child. You're right. You are God's favorite child. But see, there's so much of Him, that every one of you can be His favorite child. But now get this. See, this, I knew better. But in my head, I'm going, there's so much of God that he can give a piece to you that is so big that you believe you're his favorite. And then he gives a piece to me that is so big, that's bigger than me, that I'm his favorite, and the same for all of us. And one day it dawned on me, that's not God. God doesn't give each of us a piece of him. If we give all of us to him, he gives all of him to us. You go home and think about that. That'll rock your world. Because all of a sudden you... Now, you know, I love Brother Mike. You know, and I, God gave him pieces that he didn't give me pieces of himself, because Mike has different talents and giftings. And one day God said, uh-uh. Not only have I given Michael what is in proportion to the grace and the glory and the faith that is within him, but I've given him more than that. I've given him all of me. Huh? Whoa. Is there anybody here who understands what I just said? Because I don't. Can I tell you, when you begin to understand the power of one life surrendered to God and making the right connections, God will do things that will boggle your brain. God will bring people into your life that you have no clue. And all of a sudden, in a moment where you're going, I can't do that, and God will go, what did you say? Excuse me, God. Help! See, when you get to the place that you're going, you can't do it, quit trying to figure out getting the right confession out of your mouth and just go, help! God, this is bigger than me. Help! God, it's above my pay grade. Help! God, it's above my mental ability. Help! Now see, you think that somehow when you holler the word help, that somehow demeans you. But what it does is it opens you to surrender to the living God. I don't care, Lord, what it takes, just do it. Lord, I don't care where I walk in, just do it. If I'm in the middle of Siberia, if I'm in the middle of the most contaminated place on the planet where the government is corrupted and prostitution is everywhere and drug addiction is everywhere and it's the number one city for building tanks in Russia, half of all tanks come out of that town, and you look up and go, God help. God in 90 days can plant a church, raise it up, and show his glory. Not because we're good, it's because he's good. He's mighty. He's powerful. And people go, I don't get how you're so blessed. I don't either, but I am. Help! Do you know what? I think God has moved this church to the place that its prayer every day when it gets out of bed is, help! And its last prayer at the end of the day is, thanks. Oh, I'm getting too wild. Now, I know some of you got life so controlled that you don't need help. You know, and you're just looking at me like, where did you come from? I don't know where I came from, but I know where I'm going, and I know who's going to take to get me there, and I can't do it in my righteousness, and I got to get real about it. But when I get real with him, he didn't come and beat me up. He says, hey, you cannot be contained. You're filled with the power of the glory that is greater than the vessel, and somehow I've squeezed all of me inside of you. And when you cry out help, I just start growing inside of you, where the world begins to see who I am, and you begin to live a life that they go, whoa, how does he do it? How many of you know God has called this church to a blessed life, a life to show that God is able in difficult times, in hard times, in great times, in little times, in large times. God is able to do exceedingly abundantly far above that which we might think or imagine. Well, it's almost 9 o'clock, time to quit. I understand you can preach people in third heavens and get 9 o'clock, they'll leave you up there and go home. I can preach to you about the greatness of God all day long, but until you're willing to be honest about your sin, you're going to be miserable. I have never been in a place in my life that I've worked so hard to know what I'm doing, and the harder I work, the less I know what I'm doing. Just a few days ago, I became a grandfather for the first time. Sophia Lynn French, 9 pounds, 7 ounces, 21 inches long, and her fingers are almost as long as mine already. I looked down and went, you got, now my son has long fingers, takes after his mother. Yes. I looked down at that baby. The other day, I'm holding that baby. You got to understand. The other day, I just said to God, help. You can think this is crazy. But with it, if the baby didn't come by Saturday, I had to go to Russia and not see the baby born. And it was a week overdue. And I got up that morning and I went, help! I'll do your will, but I'd really like to see this baby born. And at 12:30 that night, the first baby of the year in that hospital, got its picture in the paper, got a big basket, got all the different accolades and awards, and I said to them, does she get a scholarship for college? And the nurse said, no. I said, that would impress me. She's going to get her picture in the paper. She's the most beautiful baby in the world. As my wife was kissing that baby, I just went, God, help me. I don't know if I'm a big grandfather, good grandfather or not. I'm surprised my son is saved just living with me. Don't look at me that way. I have to have help from my wife not to kill me. She gets out of bed every day with a driven man. Don't look at me. I'm being too real, aren't I? And I make mistakes, and all of a sudden I just go, Lord, it's your dumb one again. Now, don't get upset. I don't confess that about me often. But there comes that point where you're going, if you're not willing to deal with sin, I don't care how good you look, how fast you are, how much money you got. You're not fast enough, you're not smart enough to deal with hell or the devil. And when you get to the place where you have to begin to deal with darkness and demons and devils, and you start going down in the pit of hell, where you start reaching the bowels of this planet, and you begin to watch that when you get out of bed at 5 in the morning and you start to pray, and all kinds of hell break out by noon and it looks impossible, and at 9 o'clock at night you've watched 600 people accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And you begin to go, you know you didn't do it. Why? There comes a point where you have to be honest. I'm not right with God. I'm not prepared for heaven. I got attitudes. I got actions. If I will be real with him, he will be right with me. And then I will be right with him because I can't make myself right. But he can make me right. And when I am right with him, he will be real with me. In just a second, I'm going to count to three. And when I count to three, no heads bowed, no eyes closed, everybody looking around. If your glasses are dirty, get them clean. The other day someone said to me, have you always done altar calls like this? And I said, well, for many years, but When you give altar calls, when there are AK-47s aimed at you, you learn to keep your eyes open. And I know you can't dodge a bullet, but you think you can. And until you're willing to be real, that you don't care what anybody else thinks. Do you really think you'll be real out there? If you can't be honest enough to lift your hand in here and say, I got some junk in my life, got some attitudes in my life, got some actions in my life. By the way, those attitudes and actions the Bible calls sin. And the wages of sin is subtraction, separation, minus. But when you surrender to God, the living God, everything changes. I'm going to count to three, and every person in this room will say, Michael, I got junk in my life tonight that's a minus. It's a subtraction. It's a death, whether it's an attitude or an action. And you don't care what anybody else thinks. You just want to get it right with God. We're living in the hour of the greatest harvest. Do not miss this harvest. Do not miss this hour. God is doing things right now like I have never seen in 40 years of preaching. But it takes people who have enough courage to go help. In just a moment, I'm going to ask everyone in this room who has the courage to say, I need help. I got junk in my life that's not right. Every person in this room tonight who will say, Michael, I got junk in my life and I need help. And I want prayer. Every person in this room who needs help from wrong attitudes, wrong actions in your life, and you want prayer, I want that hand over your head right now. One, two, three. Every hand that's lifted, stand to your feet, please. Altars are open. I say it one more time. The altars are open. Every person standing on your feet, get to a place and surrender. Every person standing on your feet, get to a place and kneel and surrender. Come on, just begin to find a place to kneel. Find a place to kneel. Just come, and if you don't have to get down on your knees, that's fine if you want to stand. But if you can, come. And keep coming in. Don't leave space between you and the person in front of you. There are people coming from all over this room. Jesus, we are desperate for you tonight. Jesus, we are desperate for you tonight. Glory and the... Oh, Jesus. Jesus, we praise you. We love you, Jesus. Glory and the... Come on, begin to ask him. Come on, somebody out of your mouth say, help. God, I need help. I got problems in my marriage. I got problems on my job. I got problems at school. I got problems at work. I got problems at shop. I got problems with neighbor. I got problems inside me. Help. Oh, Jesus, help. Oh, Jesus, help. Oh, Lord, help. Help, oh God. Help. Oh, Jesus, help. Help. Oh, God. God, would you come down and help us in the land, Florida? Oh, God, would you come down in this church and help us? Lord, would you come down in us? We surrender to the Lamb of God tonight. We cry out for your glory. We long for you, Almighty God. We cry out for you. Jesus, Jesus, lover of my soul. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Oh, Jesus, I praise you. Jesus, I love you. Glory under the rebuke. Don't be afraid to pray in the Holy Ghost. Oh, Jesus. Lord, there are young men and young women in this room tonight that have got to have help before they leave this place. Oh, Jesus, we praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus, we cry out. Jesus, holy, holy, holy is the Lord. Jesus, we praise you. Oh, Jesus, we cry out unto you. Oh, that's it. Come on, cry out. Lift your voice. Lift your voice. Open your mouth. All across this room. Somebody open your mouth. Somebody make hell mad. Jesus, we need you. Oh, God. Oh, Lord, do not pass us by. Do not let us miss the hour of your visitation. Jesus, 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 I praise you, oh God. We praise you, oh God. Hallelujah. Jesus. Cry out, oh, holy, holy God, Jesus.